This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My writings of the 80s and early 90s. Actually, in the latter part of the 80s, I began to write on topics which I felt new Muslims in particular needed to get clarity on, because they were being drawn into various cult sects, etc. Among them was the Ansar cult in America. This book dealt with a particular group which called themselves the Ansarullah in America. Their leader claimed to be a descendant of the Mahdi of Sudan, Muhammad Ahmed in the Sudan. And he wore Sudanese style dress, turbans, etc. And he created a community in New York itself. It became quite popular. They carved out a section of Brooklyn, and families moved in and they took over the area, etc. They had their own stores, and other Muslim communities of New York, they accepted them to sit on the main council of Muslims in New York in the course of discussions of, you know, issues that relate to Muslims, etc., etc., and making plans and all these kind of things. But when I looked at their literature, I realized that they were far away from Islam. On the surface, they had an appearance which was Islamic looking. But once you got into their belief system, I started reading their papers. They had regular papers which were being issued, you know, by their leader. They were influencing a lot of people. They were playing on issues of racial divide between blacks and whites. You know, something like what the Elijan movement, you know, the Nation of Islam, utilized. They used some of that thought. But they went off into all kinds of other crazy, unacceptable beliefs. They could really not be considered to be Muslims, though they had accumulated some bits and pieces of Islam. So I did the work and presented it to Imam Siraj Wahaj, who was one of the leading imams of communities there in New York. After he read it, he realized their reality. And he then helped by distributing copies of the book all across America. As he traveled and made lectures in various places, he left copies of the book with the various communities across America. And alhamdulillah, within months, within the next year, the group started to crumble. It had expanded itself all the way down to the West Indies, you know, and it was noted for setting up these physical communities. And many people were attracted to it, but it was spiritually fake and corrupted. Their practices were deviant, their beliefs were distorted, and alhamdulillah, the book, The Ansar Cult in America, which I published, was sufficient to expose them to the North American public, Muslim communities. And within some months, they folded, came up with a new name, claiming to be Black Jews, taking on new names, etc., etc. Because the founder was a scam artist. He knew how to trick people, to exploit them, to take their wealth. and build himself. And so he kept going for a number of years after that. I also wrote a book on the Quran's numerical miracle, 19, hoax and heresy. Now, Rashad Khalifa, who was the founder of this idea back in the 70s, he had written some papers establishing that there was a numerical, miraculous formula within the Quran, which focused around 19, where Allah says, Alayha tis'ata ashar, over it are 19. So he claimed this is over the Quran. The 19 is the miraculous number, you know, the numbers of verses or the numbers of chapters or the numbers of words are mentioned in the Quran, multiples of 19 and in all kinds of, you know, formulas that he produced, etc., etc. Actually, it was my students who brought this to my attention, my students at Manarat Riyadh Schools. They raised this to me. Actually, Ahmed Didat had fallen for his arguments and had put out a book on it, you know, on the miracle of 19 in the Quran. And when we looked over the evidences, students had brought it to me and asked me, what do I think about this? I said, well, let's check it. So I assigned the students, because this is early 80s, you know, computers were only just coming into fashion, into use. So these kids were already very much into computing. So I assigned them the job of checking out the claims of Rashad Khalifa. And sure enough, it became clear after they made their calculations and counted things specifically, that he was playing with the numbers, playing with the letters of the Quran. He was using the Abjadiyya system, its numerology, where numbers or letters of the Quran are given numerical value. You know, this is where 786 comes from. This is from numerology, where from the old alphabet, Abjad, Hawaza, Abjad, Alif, Ba, Jim. Alif is equal to 1, Ba is equal to 2, Jim is equal to 3, and so on and so forth. And on the basis of that, the Basmala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, according to that system, it adds up to, according to that system, as they claim, it adds up to 786. So 786 became a very, very popular number, to have it in your phone number, to have it on your house, to have it, you know, whatever. People, you know, would die for 786. But it's nonsense. You know, numerology has no place in Islam, etc. In the end, anyway, I mean, I predicted that he would make greater and greater claims. And surely enough, you know, as the 80s completed themselves, he started claiming that there were some false verses in the Quran. You know, which is, oof. Now people started to back off once he started to make those claims, those kind of claims. And then next thing you know, he claimed that he was actually a messenger of Allah and that his miracle was the 19 and so on and so forth. Alhamdulillah, by Allah's will, he was assassinated in the early 90s. So his immediate threat ended. But of course, people who fell for his arguments and they kept it going for a number of years later. They're still around. They changed their names, whatever. But alhamdulillah, I had done a book in which I exposed the games that he was playing with the numbers and the letters and all these kinds of things and clarified that it was fake and so on and so on. So of course he was very upset and, you know, he wrote things against me, etc. As Dr. York, the founder of the Ansar, did likewise. But alhamdulillah, within a year's time, before even he was assassinated, people backed away from him. The evidence was clear that his claims were false. So among the other areas, you know, of deviation, deviant groups, etc., that had arisen, and that I tried to write about for clarity, for, especially for new Muslims. You know, born Muslims, maybe some of these things are more obvious, they spot it right away, but for new Muslims, you know, they could easily be sucked into these different groups. You know, was the Shia. The Shia back in the mid-80s were very active. I mean, they just came off, you know, the late 70s with Khomeini coming back and setting up the Islamic State and this kind of things. You know, and many people joined them. Many people converted to Shiaism. So it needed something to be written on them. So I did basically three books on them. One, the first one, was a translation from a book called Waja'a Dawr al-Majus, in Arabic, with big thick book. But person had taken a chapter out of it, somebody, and translated it. Brother from Sri Lanka translated, but the English translation was terrible. So I took the original Arabic and retranslated it and circulated it under the title of The Mirage in Iran. You know, it explained about the deviant beliefs of the Shia and how Muslim scholars in the earlier days treated them, how they considered them, etc. You know, and basically, you know, warned people about their deviation and that they're to be avoided, you know, in terms of a way, although at the time Khomeini was saying, we're not East, we're not West, you know, we're all one and all this, but reality was quite other than that. Another book which I did, which was a small book, translated, comparing Khomeini's ideas to the early Shia ideas, whether in fact he had changed, and as some people were claiming, well, no, he doesn't hold these other beliefs, etc. So this book, this section of that larger book, was focused on whether Khomeini was in fact a renewer who corrected up mistakes of the past, and so no. It showed very clearly that in fact he was on the same way or manhaj as the early Shiites. He didn't bring anything new. He didn't change their teachings. You know, he was making the same claims for the imams, that they're, you know, on a higher level even than the angels and the prophets, and, you know, so etc. So that book clarified about Khomeini, so he couldn't be excluded, you know, by those who were promoting Shiaism at the time. And then the third book was taken from a book called Talbis Iblis, or The Devil's Deception. And I named it at the time The Devil's Deception of the Shia. And I brought the material, which the book was done by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah. And I pointed out the history, or clarified the history of the rise of the Shia. And this is now more historical, to understand the Shia from their history. So again, for new Muslims, they don't have any knowledge of the background of the Shia and the various groups that evolved from them, etc., Shiite groups, etc. They had no knowledge about that. So my writing here was to provide, you know, a basis for understanding the Shia, how they arose from in the time of the Sahaba, you know, and the claims that they made, and how they deviated, and to the point where the imams become objects of worship, where they pray to the imams, as Christians pray to saints, and we have amongst Muslims, Sufis who pray to saints. So this genre of books were focused on dealing with the deviant groups that threatened the proper understanding of Islam among new Muslims. Yeah, this is a recent printing, relatively recent printing, of the Devil's Deception. Originally, the title was The Devil's Deception of the Shia, but a lot of bookstores were not willing to carry it, so I shortened it down to just The Devil's Deception. But of course, The Devil's Deception, you know, deals with many, many other topics. You know, the Devil's Deception of the Sufis, Devil's Deception of the Scholars, Devil's Deception of, you know, in so many different other aspects. But this was the Dawah Corner bookstore printing of The Devil's Deception.